Welcome to AI Chatbot Success, the podcast that keeps it real, takes you to the front lines, where we're building AI chatbots that go way beyond chatting into pushing the limits with tech stack integrations. My name is Scott Hankins. I'll be your host, and thank you for joining us. All right, welcome to this episode where we're talking about the seven keys required for a successful, coherent chatbot conversation. Seems obvious, I know. However, as you know, if you go out there and start talking with chatbots, that it's usually a bad experience. It's a bad answer or just a decision tree that doesn't get you an answer at all. It's not a good experience. And so today we're going to talk about how do you make sure that your chatbot can deliver a good, coherent conversation. So the first one, number one, seems obvious again, but it's ChatGPT, natural language processing. Yeah, it does seem obvious. However, let's break it down just a little bit. So ChatGPT gives your chatbot a better understanding of the conversation. For example, it has conversational memory. As to where decision trees of the past, it's only right where it is, and whoever programmed that chatbot is expecting a certain answer a certain way. Okay, that's out. Can't do that. So you need to leverage natural language processing. And another one is like these pre-written decision trees that has to be out. You have to leverage, you know, AI to have that conversation. And then there might be certain circumstances where you take the conversation into a pathway and then back out. But you certainly cannot have a chatbot based on what you think the users are going to be saying and asking, because your visitors now know about ChatGPT and they're going to expect a whole lot more. All right, and another one, if you're purchasing a bot builder that has ChatGPT, for example, and you think that everything's going to be great and rosy, well, there's much more to it. So you need to make sure that you understand how to empower your chatbot to give good, correct, accurate answers that are relevant so that it can be that coherent conversation. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to give you seven keys that are required for this. So the first one, number one, obvious, ChatGPT natural language. We just talked about some of the reasons why, but it does a lot for a chatbot. It also gives your visitors an opportunity to literally have a conversation and to say things like, I don't understand the answer. Can you please explain it to me in more detail? And the chatbot will. Or perhaps they say, can you shorten your answer? Or can you organize your answer into bullet points? Can you give me numbered steps? Can you write a summary of all the things we've talked about? Can you provide the definitions of the terminology used in this conversation? But the end user can have a conversation, just like they could with a person, to get what they need from the chatbot. So that's number one. Number two, good cross-pollinated source data. So what is that? What does that mean? Well, we'll start with good documentation. It needs to be well formatted. For example, if it's a knowledge base article, make sure the title's good and take some time with the description. Make sure that, you know, it's a full explanation of what that knowledge article is about. And then you need to make sure the formatting of the body is good. Maybe it has sections, maybe it has titles for different things, but make sure it's formatted well so that you have good documentation there. And also consistently formatted. Make sure that all of your knowledge articles are formatted the same so that it's easier for your chatbot to digest and consume, so that your chatbot can understand, okay, here's what this information is, here's how I get it, and so forth. All right, so what is cross-pollination? So cross-pollination allows your chatbot to deliver answers using AI, not just keywords. And something that you'll hear often is, you need a lot of data. Okay, there's truth to that, but the reason you need, we'll say, a lot of data, although I disagree with that. I don't think you need a lot of data. You just need well cross-pollinated data. But the reason that you hear you need a lot of data is because that allows the chatbot to deliver answers based upon cross-pollinated answers. So what is that? Multiple sources. That's really what it boils down to. If you can give your chatbot multiple sources of information that talks about the same subject, then your chatbot is going to gain a better understanding and it will be able to deliver a more relative answer to that conversation. And it's important to do, really important. You know, for example, one time I had a bot that was stuck on, couldn't give a good answer for a topic. And at first I didn't understand because the data is there. The information was there. Well, why wasn't it giving a good answer? So we started cross-pollinating data and we gave a little bit more information in a different data source that the chatbot had access to. And just a little bit of information in a different way coming from a different angle, the chatbot grabbed on to, you know, understanding what that was talking about. And then when you ask the question, the chatbot delivered a great answer. And ironically, it didn't even use the new data source. It didn't even use the cross-pollinated data. As far as, you know, the words it said, I could tell that it was using the original data, but the cross-pollinated data just gave the chatbot a better understanding so that it could deliver a better answer and really understood what it was talking about. So really important that you have cross-pollinated data. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, about data sources and stuff like that, but keep that in mind. It's going to improve the answers a lot. All right, number three, data sources. So if you're using a bot builder that only allows one data source, you know, maybe you can import PDFs or maybe it's website addresses or something. But if your chatbot has a limited amount of data sources that it can do, just stop. It's a losing battle. Just stop. Go somewhere else. You know, they'll get there eventually. They'll add more data sources. But until then, you need to make sure that your chatbot can have plenty of different data sources. It's imperative. So for example, you might have like a knowledge base tied into your chatbot. So your chatbot can access the knowledge base, read all the articles. Great data source because it's, you know, often technical or often well-written. Great data source. And then the chatbot might have like a user guide for a product or maybe a user guide for, you know, like software, how to use the software. Another source might be like training materials. Hey, got training materials? Feed it in. Let the chatbot know. You might have some cheat sheets that are like quick references with steps or something. Great. Feed that in there. And then you, maybe even company procedures. The chatbot might need to know company procedures, like how do I update my credit card information? Or in software, you might tie it into you know, the company procedure for obtaining approvals. Yeah, the chatbot knows that they're in the user guide that you need to click on the get approval button. But if you also talk about the procedure behind that, the chatbot has a better understanding and can answer the question in a more relevant context. So it's good to add that kind of data. And then you have like back-end knowledge. It's just information for the chatbot that the chatbot will not necessarily serve up, but it's good to know. Maybe it's like your company's vacation schedule and the policy around that. Like, so you'll still have support, but there might be a slightly delayed time. You know, information like that that could be good for the chatbot depending on the purpose of the chatbot. So the data sources will always be different depending on the purpose of that chatbot. And then one more would be something like, you know, If it's a customer support chatbot or even technical support, make sure that it has access to the ticket history. So someone submits a ticket, then your chatbot should be able to read not only the ticket, but the information that was submitted for ticket, but also what did the live agent say? Let the chatbot learn from this. Just plug it in and then new tickets come in, new tickets are solved, the chatbot will keep learning. And then another data source might be like CRM data or external data from a database. We'll dive much deeper into that later because that is extremely valuable and all chatbots will have that at some point, and your chatbot should have that today. But we'll talk more about that. But one thing I just want to point out with that is you hear a lot about, well, you got to have clean data. And I think a lot of people are in analysis paralysis, right? They think that they have to have this perfectly clean database and all this stuff. It's simply not true. You really do not. You can yell at me, you can think, well, whatever. But I'm telling you from experience, you do not have to have like a giant database full of clean data. There's other techniques that you can use, like silos. You can have key customer information in silos that the chatbot can access. So it's not even accessing your entire database. You know, maybe you just need to know something like, what's a customer's renewal date? All right, great. Sync that with the silo, put it in there. And then that's much easier to clean. Or you can run a report, make sure everyone has a first name, last name, whatever. You can take areas, clean those areas, connect that to your silo as source data, because it's valuable information for the chatbot to be able to access this kind of data. All right, number four is the source document format. So the only way to know the best document format is to experiment. And it's helpful to understand why. Why do you need to experiment? Why is there not one? Well, different platforms digest the data in different ways. So back when we were, you know, building these chatbots from scratch, we would set it up so that it would, you know, ingest maybe Word docs or PDFs and so forth. And then part of that process is converting a PDF, for example, into text. And then after that, you take that and you break it up into bite-sized chunks and you put it inside of a vector, you know, store, vector database. And then that's how the data is analyzed and accessed so quickly. It's broken into these small chunks. And then when you're having a conversation, the chatbot will go grab what it believes to be the most relative chunks and piece together. But you can make these chunks larger, smaller, you can overlap them a little bit, overlap them a lot. There's so many settings that you can do with the, you know, incoming data, if you will. And sometimes some systems don't convert PDF data into text very well, and sometimes they do. Websites, same things happen. The data actually comes in and you still have to chunk it up and everything else and break it down into those bite-sized chunks. And then maybe it's done well, maybe it's not. But each platform has different settings. So you just need to experiment with it. I have found on different platforms, different formats work better. Sometimes PDF is the best. Sometimes Word doc is the best. Sometimes text is the best. Sometimes HTML website page is the best. I have seen on different platforms each one of those be the best source of data. So what do? You experiment and you figure out what document format does this platform digest the best, or at least identify which format it does not digest well and just don't use that format. All right, number five. Something that companies are going to have to start doing, they're going to have to start writing for your chatbot, not for the human. Now, sounds a little weird, but for example, websites. If your chatbot accesses website pages as source data, then you need to make sure that your HTML metadata is good and full, not just whatever. It needs to be good. It needs to be full so the chatbot can read it, can understand it, the natural language side of it. Search engine tags, as you optimize your site, just make sure it's done well, and that because the chatbot can read that information and it'll help it find the relative source data better, quicker, and so forth. There's things you can do for that for websites, including like the URL path. Make it readable so the chatbot knows, okay, here, this is what this page is about, and it goes to here. And I know that's a big topic, some, you know, because of the way that some sites are built, but point is that the path can be used and leveraged by the chatbot. And then when it comes to your pages, you know, of course, headers, titles, paragraphs, bullets, all that kind of stuff, make sure that it's done well, because the chatbot can get tripped up if it's not done well, especially if there's things like, you know, if you have nested tables and stuff like that, nightmare for chatbots. So you got to start thinking about those things. And then like even your anchors and so forth, you need to make sure that you're, you know, not bookmarks, but on a web page, they have anchors. Make sure those are readable. Add them throughout and give your chatbot an opportunity to use it. Image tags, image descriptions, the metadata for an image. Really expand it. Don't just have something in there. Like you could say in that metadata, you know, this image shows a user clicking on a gray clock icon in the bottom right corner. And then it's talk about how that by clicking on that launches a modal for time entry. And then you could say additional information like, notice that users don't click on the white icon because, and give it a reason. But if you give it information in these image tags, then the chatbot can read those and use that and know when to serve up that image. Or even if it doesn't serve up the image, at least it has better context, because sometimes we might write a knowledge article and we might rely on the images to help explain how to do something or what's going on. But this is where you need to start learning how to write for the chatbot, not for the human, and instead make sure the chatbot can have adequate information to understand what's going on, right? Things like tutorial videos. Okay, great. A title and a description is no longer enough. Now you need to make sure that not only title, but a full description. Maybe you talk about the length so the chatbot knows this is a 30-second versus a 1 hour. Maybe you have bullet points that are, in this video, you will learn 1, 2, 3, you know, like that's probably said in the video, but you need to make sure that that's part of the description of what the video is about. Maybe you have in there, this video is for system admins, or this video is for customers. And I would also recommend a transcript. Put the transcript there. These are things that the chatbot can use to gain more knowledge and information and serve up better answers and serve up more relevant hyperlinks, for example, even when it does that. And then another one would be like, you know, the bot knowledge. So internal knowledge that we talked about a minute ago. Make sure you're writing for that. Write to the chatbot and let it know, hey, here's how we do this and here's that. But that additional knowledge can really help the chatbot, as long as it's formatted well, as long as it has a good title and a good little description at the top, or tell it what category it belongs in, whatever it is. Make sure that the chatbot has that information. And then one more that I'm really seeing a lot is like numbered steps. Provide numbered steps for the chatbot. Like if it's telling someone how to do something, if you have in your procedures, here's the steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, the chatbot now learns and knows, ah, here's how you do it. And even if it doesn't supply those exact steps, it has the knowledge. Sometimes it will. But I've also seen where it will not, but it has the knowledge and can give a better, more relevant answer. So in all this, you just need to learn how to stop writing so much for the human and write for the chatbot. It's similar, but it will be a little bit different. You'll usually add more information. You'll add it in places that you wouldn't add it for a human. But if you do that, the chatbot is going to get better and better. Okay, and by doing this, it'll get us to our next one, number 6. So number 6 is the human touch. The number one reason most companies finally take the dive in to get into chatbot is to relieve employees of some of the workload. They want employees to be more efficient. So great, let's let the chatbot take some of that over. Okay, that's fantastic. It helps reduce costs and so forth. That's great. But many companies go about it the wrong way. So the right way to do this is, number one, make sure that you are giving your visitors access to human. Don't hide it, don't bury it, don't make them jump through hoops. Just put it right out there, give it to them. You need to earn less human touch, if that makes sense. You need to earn that by making your chatbot better and better so that your visitors want to go to the chatbot and get the information because they can get it instantly and it's formatted well and all these things. You need to earn it. And then what you'll see is you'll see that there'll be less human touch. The human side can put their efforts and energy where it's needed the most. They can put it into more complex things that need some troubleshooting and this and that. And they can even, you know, help the bot, which we'll talk about in a second. But the point that I want to make is earn it. Don't block people. Nobody likes that. Do you like it? When you go to a website and you need an answer, and let's say you need a human because you know the bot's not going to have the answer because it's something very unique, very different. Sure, ask the bot once, but you want to talk to a human. You don't want to be blocked. Don't block your customers or visitors. Make sure they have that access to human right there from the chatbot. All right, so that leads us to number 7. You need a system to audit chatbot answers. So if you take some of that time that employees are saved, and if you reallocate those employees who have the most knowledge to dedicating some time to making sure that your chatbot is delivering great answers and also to help improve those answers. So if you can take like 1 hour of their time put into making the chatbot, helping the chatbot deliver better answers, you're going to get a lot of value out of that over and over again. So 1 hour of time there can be 10 hours of time saved down the road. So what do you need? You need a system to monitor this. So you need like a report where you can view perhaps the bubble topics. That's a good one that you'll hear me talk about a lot. So bubble topic charts, you can use those to identify what's being talked about. And if there's a topic being talked about a lot, read what the chatbot's answering and see, is the chatbot answering it well? And if it's not, then you can improve that. You can, there's many things you could do to improve it. You could update the source data to have better information. You could cross-pollinate a little bit more so it gives a better answer. You can perhaps add those image tags, all the things that we talked about earlier. You can, with some systems, you can also have your support team click on a button that gives the right answer, and the chatbot will learn from that, and the chatbot will go, oh, this is how I should answer. And an AI chatbot will not copy that answer. It'll simply use it as a data source to give the better answer. You can take employees, reallocate them into spending time helping the chatbot deliver better answers, and you will get exponential value out of that. So in summary, if you spend a little bit of time paying attention to and going through these 7 keys that's required to make sure that your chatbot can deliver a successful, coherent conversation, then you can get started today. Waiting for clean data or to get this set up or that set up all right, that's just going to put you behind the eight ball, because companies are doing this, preparing and launching every day. So I would say just jump in, get started, and if you follow these 7 keys required for chatbot success, then you will see very, very quickly that you will start getting great answers from your chatbot. And as you continue to add things, as you continue to learn how it is to write for your chatbot and the different tips that I've given in this podcast, you'll see even better and better results. And then you'll be leading the pack. You won't be behind the eight ball. You'll be in front of the eight ball, and you'll be able to deliver your customers a better experience. Regardless if it's a prospect or a customer, they will get a better experience. They'll get the information they want, and they will learn to trust your chatbot and use your chatbot. And that's going to relieve some time and pressure off of your support team. And it's going to give your customer that better experience that they want and that they will begin to demand more and more. They are going to expect that. All right, so there you have it. There's your seven keys required for your chatbot to deliver a successful, coherent conversation. If you would like some clip notes of this podcast, just go to our website and simply ask our chatbot, Sparky, and Sparky will pass you a link to download the clip notes for this episode. Or if you're interested in a demo, same thing. Go to our chatbot, just ask for a demo, and our chatbot's going to understand what you're asking for, and it will guide you through a process. It'll set up the meeting. It'll tie in Zoom and do all that. So thanks for your time. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Be sure to subscribe for a summary of the tips provided in this episode, as well as previous episodes. And to get inspiration from our ever-growing list of the latest chatbot capabilities you can use in your organization.